Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now, to continue with our primary discussion, we have from politicsandstuff.com, Ken Crewley. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Ken, it's one of those primary seasons, an odd number year. It kind of creeps up on people, just like the election in an odd number year. And you know, forget so much about it, but it is coming up on Tuesday. First question, of all the primaries that are going on with the legislature and with the Common Council, what would you say is the one that is you've got your eye on?
Well, I'm particularly following the 10th Legislative County Legislative District because it's a campaign that sort of transcends the candidates who are working very hard, both of them. But it really extends into a fight, a very serious fight between the Republican and Conservative Party leaderships. And so that the outcome of that is going to be a very interesting development for time beyond the primary itself.
And that was a fight that almost got Chrissy Casilio to not be endorsed by the Conservative Party.
That's correct. That's correct. At the end, Ralph Zarrigo, the Conservative chairman, did give in and support Casilio, but that was hanging in the balance for a while.
Now, you look at that District 10 election, and on your website, looking at the financials, the current legislator, Jim Malczewski, has raised more money. When you look at a primary, how much does that actually play in on Tuesday?
Well, those numbers don't tell me a whole lot, frankly, because what's going on is that money has been funneled from Lindsay Larigo's husband's former county legislative committee to the Conservative Party, which was then sending the money from the local Conservative Party to the state party to fund mailings for Ms. Larigo. And we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, $50,000 or more. So what's been reported officially from the individual campaigns is just a drop in the bucket, frankly, in terms of what's being spent. I think that when all is said and done and when all the numbers come out from local and state spending on this race, we're probably talking $150,000 to $200,000 combined for the two candidates, which is an extraordinary amount of money for a Erie County legislative seat.
Oh, for sure. Now, also looking at primary day, I thought this was interesting, but maybe this is just me not being as in tune when it comes to primary ballots. They're both running against each other in both the Republican and conservative primary. Is that regular, and how important is that conservative line for a Republican candidate?
Well, traditionally, the conservative line has helped Republican candidates in Erie County. It is not a usual situation, Joe, as you point out, because usually it's just a primary in one party or the other. But because of the quirks in the state election law that have been put into place, it's possible for someone to reaffiliate temporarily to enter a party primary and then to perhaps revert back to their original party when it's all over with. It's happened with both of those candidates. Jim Malczewski was a registered Republican who became a conservative so he could run in the conservative primary. Lindsay Larigo was a conservative who registered as a Republican to run in the Republican primary. It's a new development. I don't think it's a particularly good development in politics, but it is what it is right now.
In that district, if the primaries are split, does that help the Democrat in November?
Well, conceivably it does. But at the moment, the Democrats have not been very active in that race. It could change if there's basically a rerun between Larigo and Malczewski in November. I think that it still probably would favor one or the other of them because of the district's Republican lean. And so I expect that it would not be a change in party affiliation once the election was over. But The interesting thing would be doing a rerun of the whole campaign. Both campaigns are exhausting a lot of funds, whether they have the fight in them and the money in them to run again for another 4 or 5 months remains to be seen. It's possible one of them will win both primaries and that'll end the thing, but it's also conceivable that they'll split it.
Looking at the Common Council primaries also taking place on Tuesday, obviously there is focused on two that the incumbents are not running. One is the council president, Pastor Darius Pridgen. He is stepping down, and you've got a lot of people in this race, Ken. Is there a front runner going into Tuesday?
I don't know that there's a front runner. It's a very competitive race. Well, we have some different dynamics here. There's four candidates altogether. There's Matt Deering, who formerly worked for Assemblyman Pat Burke, who was involved with Nate McMurray's campaigns. He's running a very aggressive campaign, has, as of the last reporting period, only had $14,000 raised. Then there is Leah Halton Pope, who worked for Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples. She has the support of Ms. Peoples, and also she has the support of Mayor Brown and others. So she's a very strong candidate, but she's raised $66,000 plus. So if money is a determinant, then she's going to have a strong showing. There are two other candidates, Cedric Holloway, who is a cousin of county legislator and chairwoman April Baskin. He's working very hard. And then there's a fourth candidate, Eamon Eddie Igru, who don't know a whole lot about. He didn't file financial reports, which is, I believe, a violation of the campaign laws, but he's not likely to be a factor in this. I would think that the first three, Deering, Halton Pope, and Holloway, will be the main contenders. And then will be a little bit of a power struggle. In terms of the assemblywoman and the mayor and others showing that they can help carry somebody to victory in the council.
Is this the same Eddie Igru that ran against Congressman Higgins?
And many other races over the years, yes.
Okay. Now, there's going into November. I know Matt Deering has the Working Families line in November, so there will be a choice. I mean, if someone else, there will be candidates in November as well on this race, right?
There will be, there will also be an independent candidate, Michael Chapman, who is the pastor at St. John Baptist Church, is planning to run as an independent. So there will be some contest in November, but going into November, the Democratic candidate winner will probably be the odds-on candidate for election.
And in the Maston districts, where Ulysses Wingo is stepping down, you have Zanetta Everhart and India Walton. Any favorites going into Tuesday on this one?
Well, that's a tough one. They're both very strong candidates. Ms. Everhart has raised more than twice as much money as India Walton. India Walton, though, comes off a mayoral primary for mayor in 2021, where she ran very well, won the primary, and so they know how to win primaries. So I think that's going to be a very competitive thing. Once again, Ms. Everhart has some powerful support behind her. She has the endorsement of the Erie County Democratic Committee. She has Mayor Brown, Senator Kennedy. Those are important factors. In all of these races, a lot is going to depend on turnout. I think turnout generally in all these primaries scattered around the county is going to be very, very low, maybe 10 to 15% of party enrollment. And so whoever can get out their votes will have the best chance. And that's where maybe Walton's organizational skills in terms of the primary stuff will help her remain competitive with Everhart.
You would think after Mayor Brown's primary loss last time, you know, people would spend a little more, put a little more attention and maybe a little more focus into these primaries.
Well, I'd like to think so. I think that that's going to help, but there's not a groundswell. There's not an overriding issue that seems to dominate any of these legislative things. It seems to be more of a power struggle among various office holders and the candidates they're supporting. And so whether that really leads to a bigger turnout or not, I wouldn't bet on that yet.
You know, it is interesting. India Walton had a lot of support going into the main election after winning the primary back when she ran for mayor. But now a lot of that support is with Zanetta Everhart. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I think that they're not fond of some of the issues and the positions that India Walton took in that mayoral campaign. And in this council campaign, both candidates seem to be emphasizing housing issues. They haven't wandered too far from that. But I think that the folks that supported Mayor Brown and the write-in developers and other people who can write big checks have gravitated to Everhart because they see her as perhaps the candidate most inclined to their interest, and that explains why she's raised as of 2 weeks ago $72,000, which is an extraordinary amount of money for a county or city council race.
Looking at the other council races and the incumbents, any incumbent that you think might be in trouble going into primary day?
I think that they're all in a strong position. Brian Bowman and Lovejoy, Joe Golombek in North District, and Rashid Wyatt in University. However, in all of these races, there's strong opposition working very hard. And they've raised a decent amount of money. The candidate running against Baldwin has raised $26,000 so far, pretty good for a council candidate. The lady Eve Sheffins, who is running against Golombek, has raised about $21,000. And Catherine Franco is running against Wyatt. Has raised $18,000. So that those are respectable numbers for a non-incumbent legislator, and I think that they show that the candidates have some support. Again, not to belabor the point, but it depends on turnout. It's who can round up the right number of votes. And you look a little bit at the history, we talk about the mayoral campaign in 2021, Joe, and in the Lovejoy district, there were only 1,400 votes cast in that primary. In the North district, there were only 1,300 votes cast in the district. So I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot more than that. And so we're literally talking about a candidate who can collect a few hundred supporters and get them to the polls can win an election. So the low turnout is the wild card in all of these races, and who can get their friends and supporters out are the people who are going to win.
Looking at November after the primary, any of these districts, we talked about the Ellicott district and who will be on the ballot in November. Are there Republican or independent challengers in Lovejoy, Maston, North District, and University?
Not Republican or independent. There is... In the North District, Eve Shippens does have the Working Families endorsement, so she'll be on the ballot. And same with Catherine Franco, who is challenging Wyatt in the Democratic primary. She has the Working Families line, and so she'll be on the ballot in November. Again, it gets to be hard to win on a minor party line in a strong Democratic district or city, but it's been done before, and it depends on whether they could hold a campaign together if they wind up losing the primary.
Now, after all this is settled, Darius Pridgen will leave. He is the council president now. Will there then be a vote for that? Is there a leading candidate who will be the next president of the council?
Well, I don't know that there's a leading candidate. There are candidates I'm hearing. I hear that Mitch Nowakowski, who represents Fillmore District, Chris Scanlon, who represents South District, are interested in being council president. It might be if Ms. Halton Pope or Ms. Everhart win their primaries, perhaps they might pursue the presidency. So I think that potentially could be a wide open thing, and the council president is elected, of course, by the members of the council, so we really wouldn't know the answer to all of that until January. We might get some ability to read the tea leaves a bit, depending on how these primaries come out.
Ken, we always appreciate the work you do and your insight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.